Welcome to Rock Church. We're so glad to hear this morning. My name is Caleb Yetton. I'm one of the pastors here. And like Brent said, we're going to be finishing up this morning our relationship status series. We've been going through this. This is the fourth week. The first week, Bob took us through what it's like to be single, talking about what God says we should do when we're single, how we should prepare for marriage, and how we can use our time to honor God while we're single. Then we talked about our relationship as Christians with the church. We talked about that, Bill. We watched a video of our pastor, Bill Young, talking about base camp and how that we're going to be going through base camp and how we have a relationship with the church and we're committed to the church. Last week, Mac took us through our third part of this series, talking about marriage and the marriage relationship and how we can be better at our marriages, how we can grow in our marriages, what the Bible says about marriage, and what that marriage is defined as, how God defines marriage and not the world defining marriage. And it's been good. And this morning we're going to be talking about, it's going to be the fourth part, we're going to be talking about married with kids. We're going to be talking about parenting. And I know what you're probably thinking is you didn't want to show up this morning and hear about how you are not winning your parenting or whatever it may be. I'm not here to say that. I'm not here to say that I have all the answers in parenting. A lot of us just are getting off of an awesome experience. We had a parenting workshop up at our Draper building, and for like 6 hours yesterday and 2 hours on Friday night, we got to listen to one of our pastors from El Paso talk about parenting, him and his wife. And it's been awesome. And so I have a lot of thoughts going around in my head because I love parenting. I have two kids of my own. And I just love parents. I love parenting. I love my children. I love talking about it. So I don't want to go too long this morning, but just know if I get off on a tangent, it's because I'm passionate about this. So I don't claim to know everything. I've only been doing this parenting thing for 3 years. My oldest, Abel, is just over 3 years old. But I've been thinking about parenting for a long time. I feel like it's something God has given me, and I like I said, I'm passionate about it. And I think it's something that's important, something that matters to God. At our church here in Provo, on an average week-to-week basis, about a quarter of our attendance is children 6th grade and under. Just about a quarter of people every week. So we have quite a few kids. So many of you here are parents. Just about most of you here are parents, or maybe you're grandparents now, or you know parents, and there's something you can learn. I want to encourage the people here who aren't parents yet. Maybe you're married and you haven't had kids yet, or maybe you're single and you don't have kids yet. I would encourage you this morning to not just tune out just because you're not a parent. I remember when I was 18 years old, showing up to the Rock Church, and they were talking about parenting. And I thought, well, what can I learn from this? And I remember God meeting me in that place and speaking to me, and I started to form convictions about parenting, what God has to say about parenting, what the Bible says about parenting. And I think it can start then, even if you don't have kids, start thinking about it now, start praying about it now, start reading the Bible and seeing what God has to say about that. And I think it's something that's important even as if you're single and you're looking for a spouse and you have these convictions that God puts in you about parenting and you meet somebody who doesn't have the same convictions, that might not be the person that you're supposed to marry. And so it could help you that as you look for a spouse, as you pray for a spouse, that you meet somebody and you marry somebody who has the same convictions for you as you. And if you're young, married, and you don't have kids yet, I would, again, continue to pray about it, continue to seek about it, talk about it with your spouse so that when you have kids, it's not just let's figure it out as we go. We have a game plan. We have a vision for how we're going to start having, how we're going to raise our kids. So with all that being said, what's with this parenting thing? What does it mean to have children? What does it mean to raise children, to raise godly children? What does the Bible say about it? What does God say about it? What does the world say about it? Everyone and anyone will come to you and will be happy to tell you their parenting advice. There's plenty of YouTube videos of making fun of people who don't have children, yet they want to give you parenting advice. And so people are out there wanting to give your advice. There's a lot of good advice. There's a lot of terrible advice. I'll just say that. There's bookshelves filled with books, of really stupid books, I gotta say, of people trying to just figure out parenting. And I don't think it's a new concept that we have to just reach around and grasp for in the dark. I think God has something to say. The Bible has something to say about our parenting. And I know I don't only want to talk about parenting because my talk is married with kids. I do want to talk a little bit about marriage. Mac, again, talked about marriage last week, and I'm not going to repeat everything he said, but I do want to hit a little bit on marriage as it pertains with raising children, because marriage does change when kids get into the equation, right? You know, many times in our culture, people wait longer and longer to have children. That's happening more. Children are viewed as a nuisance. Children are viewed as little annoyances that are going to keep me from my career or my dreams or me making money or my travel plans. And it's sad, honestly. There's a bad rap on being parents. It's like, ooh. I was 23 years old when I became a parent. It's like, ooh, sorry, your life's over. It's all downhill from here. And, you know, life's gotten better with kids at 23 years old. I'm not missing anything because I have children. And I think, again, God has something to say that's better than what the world has to say about parenting. A lot of times it can be just figure it out. Hang on for the ride. Hopefully you won the child lottery and your kid won't be an axe murderer. You know, who knows? Just that's what we're shooting for. As long as my kid doesn't go to prison, then I did all right. And I think God has higher standards than that. And I think a lot of it has to do with the parents. It's not just, oh, hopefully you won the child lottery and your kid isn't some little annoying thing. It's we can work at our children. We can chain our children. Here's a couple things that the world says, a couple quotes. Irma Bombeck, who's an author, says, when my kids become wild and unruly, I use a nice, safe playpen. When they're finished, I climb out. You know, we see that in the world a lot. Children, you can't control them, so I'm just going to let them do whatever they want in the house, and I'm going to go hide. And when they're done, I'll poke my hand. Are you guys done? Can I come out? That's not being a parent. And Mark Twain says this about teenagers. When a boy turns 13, put him in a barrel and feed him through a knot hole. When he is 16, plug the hole. That's how our world views children. And maybe I don't have teenagers. I was one. I can imagine why a parent would think this. But and maybe you have teenagers or you've had teenagers and you say amen to that. But I think God has better for us. And this is what the Bible says about children. Psalm 127 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. I got to say amen to that. Children are awesome. Children are a blessing. Another verse, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So this has a complete opposite feel to what the world says oftentimes. You can't train your children. You can't tell them what to do. There's no hope. Just let them figure it out. And the Bible, God, says, train up a child, meaning you can do it. You can set your children on this path. You can set them on a path towards God, towards righteousness, towards truth. And if you do that, if you're diligent towards that, they will not depart from that path. That's on parents. That's not the children. That's on parents. I'm just going to pray, and we're going to dive into a couple more verses and a couple topics. So if you'll pray with me. God, I love you. I thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you that we are your children, God, and that you are our Heavenly Father, that you are our ultimate example of what it means to be a parent. God, I pray you would help us, those of us that are parents, those of us that want to be parents one day, those of us that are grandparents, or those of us that just know parents, God, and I pray you would give us convictions this morning, God, about your ways, about your truth, about what the Bible says, God. I pray you'd speak to us. I pray you'd help me to be not getting on tangents, God, but to just speak what you have to say this morning, God. We want to hear from you. We love you and pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So I want to show you my family. This is my wife, Kelsey, and I on our wedding day. I was 20 years old when we got married, and Kelsey was 21, married an older woman. Yeah. I love my wife. She's my best friend. And a lot of people gave us flack for when we got married of your life's over. 20 years old, what are you doing? And we've grown up a lot. There's been a lot of learning curves and a lot of hard things that we've had to learn while growing up, not just marriage, but life in general. But we've done it together, and we're closer because of it, and I love that. These are my beautiful children. This is Abel. Again, he's just over 3, and this is Henry. He's like 20 months old, and they're just amazing. They're the best thing of my life, other than my wife, and they're a joy to be around. Abel is a little bit more timid, a little bit more cautious when he gets to the edge of something, like the stage here. He's got to think about it before he jumps off. Henry just runs and just goes for it. And he's usually the one with the bigger scratches on his face and on his arms because he's falling down all the time. But they're both very different, but I believe God's principles apply to both of them. They are different temperaments, they're different children, but I think God's principles apply to them just like God's principles apply to me and you, even though we're very different. So, this is my family. This is the blessing God's given me, and I don't deserve it. God's been far too kind to me, but he's amazing for them. So, that's my family. Our first point this morning, talking about married with kids, is marriage. I want to encourage you guys to keep your marriage a priority, even above your children. This is controversial a lot of times in our world. People say when kids come around, they need to be the center of your universe. You need to pour all of your time in them. You can't just leave them be. And I'm not saying neglect your children. Children are a very high priority. They're the number 3 priority in my life after God and my wife. But it's very important to keep your marriage a priority above your children. Children shouldn't be the center of the universe. I don't think that is a healthy child, that they grow up learning that they're the only ones that matter. They need to see, son, I've been with your wife for years. She was here before you. She's going to be here after you. After you leave and move out, she's my number one priority before you. And I think that's a healthy thing for a child to see. It's a healthy marriage, a marriage where the spouses love each other. They choose to love each other. They choose to serve each other, choose to be together. And our world doesn't see that many times. Mark 10:7 says this, though. Jesus talking says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. And I think that includes children. My wife and I are one flesh. I'm not that with my children. I love my children. I love them more than I can explain. But my wife and I are one. And I can't just let that change. I have to put her first. I have to serve her. I have to make sure our marriage is strong. This is a shocking thing that I found out in preparing for this. In a study on McKinley Irvin Family Law's website, it says half of all American children will witness the breakup of a parent's marriage. Of these children, close to half will also see the breakup of a parent's second marriage. So this is a real thing. Many marriages end in divorce. We know that. And children have to see that. That affects the kids. That's a terrible thing for them to have to experience. You know, many times kids come along and it's like the parents forget who they were before. They forget that there was this amazing spouse, this amazing person that I created life with, that together we are able to bring a child into the world. And the kids become the center of attention. And God says, don't let what I've put together be separated. We need to take our marriage seriously. And that includes having consistent date nights. It's easy when you have kids to just let date nights go out the window. But I would encourage you, make that a habit, make that a priority. My wife and I, for years, every year since we got married, we've gone on dates just about weekly. And that's changed as we've had kids. It's difficult. You have to have a babysitter. But I would encourage you, even now, we have friends that we switch off babysitting each other's kids so that every other week we can have a date. And I encourage you, do the same thing. Don't neglect your spouse. Don't neglect your marriage. Make that a priority. Show your children, I love you, I want to spend a night with you, but mom and I just really need a night together. And so if you need that, find a couple that you can say, hey, can you watch my kids for a couple hours while we go on a date? And then I'll do the same for you next week. And just get in the habit of that. I love this quote. Jim Burns says, do your kids a favor and love your spouse. Really, that's sometimes the best thing that we can do for our children is have a healthy marriage, have a healthy relationship showing that we care about our spouse. A lot of that plays into, a lot of things play into making a marriage, your marriage a priority. And we're going to talk about a couple of those things. The first thing I think that's really important that we miss very often as Christians and the world misses, and you might not like this, but I think the Bible's pretty clear about it, is husbands, fathers, lead your family. Take up the mantle and lead your family. Set a vision for your family. A lot of times, it's very easy for us men to just be lazy, to be apathetic, to think our wife's better at something than we are. But the truth of the matter, what the Bible says, is that God has called husbands and they've called fathers to lead their families. God will hold you accountable for the welfare of your family. Let's look at this verse. Ephesians 5:23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. The husband is the head of the wife. The husband, the father, is the head of the family, as Christ is head of the church. And Jesus takes care of his church. He leads his church. He teaches his church. He provides for his church. And he is held accountable and responsible for the welfare of his church. In the same way, husbands, you need to do this for your family. My wife is amazing. She's absolutely amazing. She is very capable. She is strong. She's better at a lot of things than I am. At just a lot of basic things. She's better at them than I am. But God has not called her to lead my family. God has called me to lead my family. And that doesn't mean I tell my wife what to do and when to do it, and it's some authoritative thing that I'm the king of the hill. God calls us to love our families and love our wives as Christ loved the church. And what Jesus did is he gave up his life for the church. He laid his life down. He died for the church. He served the church. He washed the feet of his disciples. And that's what I mean. Lead your family. Serve them. Care for them. Put them first. Cast vision. Make sure your wife is okay. Make sure your children are okay. Set your life down and quit worrying about yourself and just being lazy and saying someone else will figure that out. God calls you to do that. Dads need to set the pace in their relationship with the Lord. They need to set the example of what it means to follow Christ and to live a righteous life and to be worshipers and be committed to a church and committed to a body of believers. We need to be that example, dads. Serve and love your family. And we also, I believe, are called to lead out in training our children. The book of Proverbs is written by King Solomon. Most of it is written by King Solomon. And what it is him as a dad speaking to his son, saying, son, listen to me. Hear my words. Give me your heart. Pay attention to me. I'm going to train you. If you will do the things that I will tell you, life will go well for you. You will have wisdom. You will have understanding. And that's King Solomon doing that and saying, my father David did this for me, and I want to do the same for you. I like this verse, Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's our call, guys. That's our call, dads. Just train your children. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There's a website, as I was doing research for this, there's a website I found called fatherhood.org, and it's the National Fatherhood Initiative. I don't think it's necessarily a Christian organization, but it had some stunning numbers of just the impact that fathers have on the home. Like I said earlier, half of children will see their parents divorced. Many of those times, the mother gets the custody. And so dad's not around. Or maybe the parents are still together, but they're just staying together for the kids. They live two completely different lives. Dad's not really involved. And so this National Fatherhood Initiative wants to show and give this case that dads have a very large influence in their children's success in life. Moms, just about every mom is always there. They're loving, and they do an awesome job. It's us dads, it's us husbands that we fail a lot. We don't do it great. And I just want to read this on the website. It says, every child deserves an involved dad. Many people are surprised at the research which shows a connection between father's absence and an increase in social problems in America, including poverty, teen pregnancy, juvenile delinquency, physical abuse, suicide, substance and alcohol abuse, and a host of other troubling social problems. Father involvement in schools is associated with the higher likelihood of a student getting mostly A's. This was true for fathers in biological parent families, for stepfathers, and for fathers heading single parent families. Dads, we got to do better. A lot of times we fail at this, and God calls us to lead and be present. And there's a difference. We can make a difference. We need to show our kids love. We need to show them what it means to be hardworking, what it means to serve their spouse, what it means to be a good member of society, what it means to be a good student. From that same website, there's a little article on CNN that says, are dads necessary? And I just want to, again, read this to you. It says, good fathers are not just necessary, they are essential and irreplaceable to children who desperately need love and need them. You see, in the real world, we do not have the luxury of finessing research data to reach irrelevant conclusions about families. Here in the real world, we have fathers asking, what is expected of me? Do you ever feel that way? What's expected of me? How do I become this father? If our society is not prepared to say without question or hesitation that we expect them to provide love, provide for them, and guide their children, that we have indeed lost our way. We as a society, and especially as the church and as Christians, we need to call dads to a higher standard, to be involved. It can be easy. You know, I felt this way. You get so excited about your kids being born, and there's this 9-month process of your wife being pregnant, and then the child's born, and they lay the baby on the mom. And oftentimes the mom does the nursing and the feeding and is up at night with the baby. And, you know, I tried to help my wife as best as I could in changing diapers and staying up and helping get back to sleep. But when the baby cries, who do they want? They want mom. And it can just be easy of like, oh, I guess I'm not needed. All right, peace out. You know, it's like, see you when you're 5 and you want to play catch. But it's like, no, we need to be dads who are involved, that love our kids. I'm constantly getting down with my kids and saying, guess what? I love you. I love you. Guess what? You are mine. And we need, dads, we need to be good at that because we're not always good at the touchy-feely stuff. We need to love our kids and serve them and hug them and tickle them and put them to bed and set boundaries for them. Dads, we need to step up. And I don't want to just discourage you. Maybe there's some single moms here. We as a church, we want to help you as best as we can. Hope is not lost if you don't have a dad in the picture. God is a God of grace and mercy and love, and nothing is impossible with God. And I want to encourage you to just keep living the good fight, doing the good fight. We as a church, we want to help you and serve you in any way that we can. But God's grace in that, God will help you. He will meet you right there. But for those of us who are dads or have dads in the pictures, we need to step up. Another thing about marriage being a priority is we need to be on the same page. We need to communicate, specifically in this topic of children and raising children. It can be so easy to just not talk. You know, you're tired. You've been up all night. You got kids who are sick, and you're not talking, and days and then weeks can go by, and maybe something your spouse did frustrated you. And Mac talked about this a little bit last week. We got to resolve conflict. If something's on your heart, you got to speak up to your spouse. You can't just let something go deep and deep and deeper and then eventually you explode on your spouse. We got to communicate. Mark 3:24 says, a kingdom divided by civil war will collapse. Similarly, tongue twister for me. A family splintered by feuding will fall apart. So this little bickering and feuding between parents, it solves nothing. Husbands, if you have something you want to say to your wife, say it in love and gentleness. Wives, if you have something on your heart and you want to say it to your husband, say it. Not in a disrespectful way of just screaming at him and you're an awful person, but just, hey, I have this on my heart and I need to tell you. My wife and I are constantly talking through everything in life. And God's just been really gracious in that we've been able to communicate in that way. But specifically with parenting, yesterday, again, we went to this parenting workshop and driving on the way home. It was just part of life that, how do you think we're doing? What did God speak to you in that? What is something that we can do better at? How can we be better parents? How do you think Abel's responding to us? How do you think Henry's doing with this thing that we're trying to train him? How can we help them eat better? How can we help them sleep better? And it's just a constant communication, and it breaks my heart when I hear of marriages, and it's just like, I can't talk to my husband. I can't tell him. Speak up. Communicate. Be on the same page. It does nothing, does no good to just hold it in. Husbands, we need to be open to criticism. Again, I'm not the authoritative king that says, wife, you can't say a word to me. It's, how do you think I'm doing? Is there something in my life you see I can do better as a parent? Am I spending enough time with my kids? Am I being too harsh with them? Am I being too impatient with them? And it's just a natural, if you're doing it all the time, it doesn't have to be this huge blow-up thing. And I'm not perfect at it. My wife and I, just last week on Saturday, we were preparing to come lead worship. And all of a sudden there's just this little thing that we weren't getting past. And all of a sudden, God just opened it up and is like, here's something we haven't talked about. And it's been a couple days. And it was hard. And there's tears, and there's forgiveness, and there's asking and saying, this is how I felt when you did this. This is how it made me feel. It made me feel not appreciated when you did this. It made me feel bad when you said this. And it can be just so easy to just fix it right then and there and say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? We need to be better at that and not just let days and weeks and months go without ever addressing something. It's not always pleasant. It's like, all right, yeah, we're gonna have to talk about this for probably an hour or more. But at the end of it, when you get past it, when you get through it, it's so good and so beautiful, and you can just move on and be on the same page. And I think this is really important. It's important to remember that we're on the same side. You and your spouse are on the same side. You want the same thing for your children. You want the same thing for your marriage. You want to see your kids raised up and do well. It's not we're fighting against each other. So let's just drop down all the harshness, all of the defenses, and just look at it as we're wanting the same thing. So kind of shifting gears from marriage, but just directly into children, I think it's important that, again, that we remember what the world has to say and what God has to say. And I think it's important that we have conviction in God's ways. We need to have conviction in what God says. We need to have faith that what God says works, and that we're not smarter than God. Jim Gaffigan, the funny comedian, says, "I don't know what's more exhausting about parenting, the getting up early or the acting like you know what you're doing." Is that true? Right? A lot of times it's like you're at the hospital and they hand you, it's a boy, and you hand the kid and you're like, "What do I do now? You're going to let me take this thing home in a couple days? And what if it cries? What if it, you know?" And it's a hard thing sometimes figuring that out. But again, God has answers. And us as a church body, we can be together and talk about it, and we can help each other. It doesn't have to be go figure it out on your own and good luck. The world wants to tell us that we have no right telling our kids what to do. You've probably heard that. Or you've read articles. The new greatest thing about parenting is just let your kid do whatever he wants. You have no right to tell him what to believe and how to speak and what church to go to and who their parents are or what gender they are or whatever. The world just has a lot of broken things to tell us about parenting. But the Bible tells us that we absolutely can, absolutely need to, absolutely have to, absolutely should be in our kids' world, be training them, be teaching them, be implanting the values and the faith that we have into them. It's imperative that we do that. God commands that children obey their parents, that they honor their parents. God commands it. That's the Ten Commandments. That's not just like, yep, if you get the good lucky one and your kid can listen to you, then you're lucky. No, it's God commands children to obey their parents. In the Old Testament, if there were children that were unruly and didn't obey, they would kill the children. They had every right to stone the children if they disobeyed, if they dishonored their parents. That's how seriously God took that. He wanted holiness in the nation of Israel. If the child does not obey, it's serious. And that's God. He wants us, our children, to obey. Paul quotes the Ten Commandments in Ephesians. Oh, sorry, Proverbs 22:6 says this. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Again, that's proof. That is encouragement. That's God saying, this can be done. You can train your children. You can set them on a path, and they will not depart from it if you are diligent, if you train them. And again, Paul quotes the Ten Commandments, this one commandment of the Ten Commandments in Ephesians says, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth." This is the first commandment with a promise. Children, if you honor your father and mother, if you obey them, parents, if you set a standard and have your children obey you, things will go well for your children and they will live a long life on the earth. That's a promise from God. I think it's so important that we teach our children, even at a young age. My children are, again, three and like 20 months. And right away, as soon as they can talk, as soon as they can understand it, we're getting in their face. We're looking, having, look in my eyes. Repeat after me, obey mommy and daddy. Obey mommy and daddy. Obey. What we say goes. We want you to obey because it is right for you. It will go well for you. If you touch that hot stove, you will burn your hand. If you climb on that, you will fall and you will get hurt. You obey mommy and daddy. And that doesn't just stop at a young age, but I think you can start at a young age and you can continue. You can do that with young kids. You can do that with teenagers. And we got to have a stout heart. We got to be strong in our stance of, children, you obey me. God tells you, it is God's commandment. It is the right thing to do, and it will go well for you. You know, there are so many good resources out there, and I've put a couple of those on your handout, on the back page. Some resources that have really helped me. And one of them, as I was preparing for this, I was listening to a message that Josh Whitney just recently gave in Salt Lake and at our West Church. It's called Sabermetrics. It's on our website, experiencetherock.com. And he had some great points. And I this is kind of an overview about parenting, my talk. And Josh goes into a little bit more specifics. I would encourage you, parents, go listen to this talk. And I just want to read to you the 8 points that Josh had, 8 things that God values in children. And I think these things show us that it can be done, that God does value that we train our children, that we can train our children, not just that we let them do whatever they want, but that it works. And I got to say, many of these things that I'm saying, just about all of them, well, I came up with none of this, just so you know, I didn't write the Bible, I've heard many of these things spoken at our church and in books and a lot of great resources, and I want to give credit to those people because they have amazing children. I'm only 3 years into this, but I can look at someone's life and say, you're doing it right. Your kids obey you. Your kids are pleasant to be around. Your kids are not wild and crazy. And I can see the course that they're going on, and I can see Bill Young and his children as they're teenagers and as they're entering into the real world, the way that their kids behave. And I can see my father-in-law and Mac and how he raised his kids and the children that they are, my wife, and the principles that were instilled in her by my in-laws. And I want that. I don't want to just say, you guys have great kids, so I'm going to figure out this on my own and I'm going to see what everyone else is doing. When I see what something that works, when I see fruit in people's life, you will know the fruit in their life. I want to go to them and say, what are you doing? What did you do? What worked for you? What didn't work for you? What am I doing? And so that's why I want to tell you these things that Josh Whitney says, because I think his kids are awesome, and they work really hard at training their children. So don't just take my word for it. I would encourage you to look at these other resources and look at people's lives. Look at their children. If their kids don't behave, if they're unruly, don't say, hey, can I mimic what you do? That would just be not smart, in my opinion. If you see someone whose kids are behaved, say, what do you do? Tell me what you do. I want to hear the truth that you have to say, and I want to apply it to my parenting. So these are 8 things that God values in a child that Josh Whitney talked about. The first thing is obedience. God values a child that's obedient. Second thing is paying attention. God wants children that pay attention to their parents, that listen. Number three, God values when children learn to share and are considerate to others, their servants. They put others first. Number four, children accept discipline without anger or pouting. They can be taught, they can be disciplined. They can take a correction without anger or pouting. Number five, God values when children respond to direction to control their emotions. God wants children that can control their emotions, and that can be done. If you see a grown man running around and having fits and tantrums and punching things, he hasn't controlled his emotions. A child can learn to control their emotions so that when they're old, they do the same. God values when children start building a godly reputation, that they love God, that they serve people, that people look at them and say, you have the fruits of the Spirit. God values when children start developing good work habits, that they work hard, that they're diligent, that they're not lazy, that they can clean up their toys, they can clean up their room, they can help around the house, mowing the lawn or doing other chores. God values when children can handle setbacks. I think those are 8 really awesome things. And I would encourage you to listen to that talk and a lot of other talks on our website. And there's a lot of good resources, and I would encourage you to go to those resources. Go to the people who it's worked for them. And don't just grab any old book off the shelf. So how do we train our children? How do we have their hearts? How do we teach them to obey us and to listen to us and to do the things we ask them to do? Is God's number one tool that he speaks about in the Bible. Godly, loving discipline. And I don't want you to just shut off here and not hear everything I'm saying. But I think we need to come to the Bible and humbly hear what it has to say. Many times when discipline comes up to in our world, we think of abuse and beatings and parents who hit their kids. And I'm not for that at all. I think that's disgusting. But I think God speaks of a safe, calm discipline. And what we call that today is spanking. And again, I don't want to just you to shut that off. But I think we need, again, to come to God and say, what does God have to say with it? And what's the fruit of it? I think more times than not, parents have a problem, don't have a problem loving their children. And I think that's the first place that discipline starts, is loving your kids and having a relationship with them. We don't have a problem with that. God's instilled that in us. When you see this beautiful child, you love them. You'll do anything for them. You would die for them. And I don't think we have a problem with that, but many times we don't communicate that, especially dads. We don't communicate that to our kids. We just kind of say, my kid knows I love them. I provide for them. I give them a meal. I give them a noogie every now and again or whatever. But I think our children want and need and thrive when they hear that we love them. When we get down on their level, when we play with them, when we do what they're interested in, not just toddlers, but teenagers, go do something. If you have teenagers, go do something with your children, showing that you love them. Tell them. Sometimes we might talk to kids and we'll say, do you know that your dad loves you? And it's like, or do you know your mom loves you? Yeah, I guess. There shouldn't even be a question. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I want my children to know, no matter what, dad loves them. And I know my wife wants that too. Mom and dad love you. There's no question. Nothing can separate you from my love. And I think that sets the stage for discipline, so that it's never a question that when I discipline you, when I teach you and I train you, it's not because I don't love you, it's because I love you. It's because I want the best for you. In our world, it's difficult even as adults to take authority, to take discipline. I recently became an assistant manager at my work, and it's incredible to me how grown men and women, when you tell them they've done something wrong, it's, I didn't do it. It's not me. It's, what about them? What about, you know, and that's not fair that you would tell me that I did something wrong. That's just childish. When, as a grown adult, you should be able, when somebody says you've done something wrong, you should be able to say, yes, you're right. I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm going to own up to it and say, you're right. I did something wrong. And I think our children can learn that too. Son, I asked you to not hit your brother. You know what you did. Son, I have to give you a discipline. But I love you. It's not out of a place of anger. It's not out of a place of I'm at my wit's end and I warned them and I've warned my children time and time and time and time again and finally, oh, okay, well, we're doing this. It's, son, listen to me. Don't go touch that. And I'll say it. Abel, what did I tell you about that? Don't touch. Okay, well, he then walks over like all of us sinful little children do and us as adults, and you told me not to touch it, so I'm going to touch it. Well, son, I told you. You knew the rules. I love you, and I'm going to teach you that what dad says goes. Because we're parents, we're the authority. We are the image and the authority of God in our children's lives. If we can't teach our children how to obey us, how will they obey God when they grow up? That is God's commandment, is obey mom and dad. And I think we need to realize that this is the number one tool used in the Bible that God speaks about. There's only a handful of verses about specifically to parents, and more than half of those verses talk about godly, loving discipline. We need to have conviction in God's word, in God's ways. We need to have faith that it works. Do you believe the promises of God and promises of the Bible? Look at these verses. Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." Do you hate your child? You don't. So it says, if you spare the rod, if you spare discipline, you hate your child. That is God speaking. That's not me saying it. Take that up with the Lord if that angers you. God says, if you spare the rod, you hate your child, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline them. Again, that's not an abuse, it's not a hitting, it's a controlled, safe environment where everyone's calm, the parent is calm, it's a little swat, and it's on the bum, always on the bum, it's safe, it's not to cause harm, it's not to damage them, it's to show them, son, there's consequences to your actions. If we think our children are just going to go through life without consequences, one day you'll get a call from a police officer saying, I had to finally give your child a consequence. Or a teacher saying, I had to give him a consequence. They're kicked out of school. We need to show them that there's consequence because it only gets bigger and bigger and worse as they get older. Be the authority in your child's life. Love them. Don't hate them. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. God says discipline, godly, loving, safe, controlled discipline gives wisdom. It imparts wisdom. It's not wise to just let your child do whatever they want. Proverbs 23:14, I don't have this on the slide, says, disciplining your son will save them from death. If you don't discipline your child, the Bible says you are allowing them to go down the path of death and destruction. How is that loving? What parent does that? Says, go figure it out. I see that death is ahead for you, but I love you, kid. No, it's I'm going to train you and I'm going to show you that the path towards righteousness, the path towards God is pleasant. And if you want to go down this path of sin, I'm going to make it as difficult as it can be and as miserable as it can be for you. Because I love you. It's not an abuse. It's not to hurt them. It's to show them God's way is better. There is better. There is better. Because if you go down this path, you will be disciplined at one point and it will be death. This is God's number one plan. Even if you don't agree with me, at least read the Bible, prayerfully consider, take it up with the Lord. Don't just say, that sounds horrible, I'm not going to listen to that. Humbly come before God and say, what do you have to say, God? Not what is my wisdom and what do I think I'm so great at and was going to work. What do you say, God? I want your best. Are you trusting God's promises when it comes to discipline? Are you implementing it? Do you care about it? Do you see the benefits of it? Have faith, have conviction in God's ways. And if you want to talk about this, I'm happy to talk about it. I love talking about parenting. I love talking about answering questions and talking about things God has given me. Again, I don't have all the answers, and even if I don't, I will point you to somebody that I think has gone before me, and I would value their opinion. But don't just shut off on that. I just want to talk about a couple essentials, I think essentials for parenting. And again, I don't have all the answers, but these are some things, as I see them, I think are necessary for parenting in this world. Of course, this is beyond having God's grace and patience, because we always need that. So by God's grace, I think these are essentials that we can have in parenting. Courage. Parent, you need to have courage to be a parent. This isn't for wimps. You need to stand your ground and have courage to raise your children in God's ways. The world will not like what you do. They will not. Your friends and family might not like what you do. They probably won't. I have family that doesn't like the way that I parent. But I'm accountable to God, not to them. You're not always going to be popular with your kids. You're not. Bill Young says the most used word in parenting should be no. Tell your kids no all of the time. No. You can't do that. No. No. Your kids aren't going to like that. But they need to hear it. You're not going to be popular. You need to have courage to follow God's ways. And I think Joshua 24:15 says, Joshua is talking to Israel and to the people around him and saying, you choose today who you will serve, who you will live for. And Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have courage like Joshua did. I'm going to serve God even if everyone else doesn't. If I look like a freak, if I look like the weirdo, I'm not going to lose my kids. I'm going to fight for them. I'm going to fight for their souls. I'm going to fight to have their heart. I'm going to fight for them to obey me. And it takes courage. God's on your side for that too. Second is hard work. Parenting is hard work, and it takes sacrifice. Our kids can be the greatest accomplishment that we have in our life, or it can be the greatest failure that we have in our life too. In 100 years, most likely, for the majority of us, our accomplishments in our jobs and the money we make no one's going to remember that. In 100 years, though, the way that you raise your family will have an impact on generations to come. It can be the greatest accomplishment that you have. So it takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of sacrifice. A lot of times it's doing things you don't want to do. I want to go see that movie. Well, I got my kids. I'm going to spend time with them. I'd love to hang out with my friends. Well, I'm going to spend time with my kids. I would love to make more money and spend 80 hours at work. Nope, I'm going to spend 40. I'm going to be with my kids. It takes sacrifice. It takes hard work. The third essential, I think, is consistency. We need to set boundaries for our children and then follow through with them. We need to be consistent in that. We can't say, son, don't touch that, and then when they go to touch it, be like, oh, crap, I guess I got to. No, you touch that, don't touch that. No. We got to be consistent. I set a rule, son, do not touch that. Obey dad. If you touch it, I'm going to follow through with that. If you do it again, I'm going to follow through with that. If you do it again, I'm going to That's what it talks about when fathers don't exasperate your children. It can frustrate children if you set a rule, but there's not consistency. Be consistent for your kids so they know what the rules are. They know what's expected of them. Again, I didn't come up with this. One thing that we talk a lot about here at The Rock is in parenting is three questions to ask yourself. And my wife and I ask ourselves this. And we can do it more, is did my children hear me? Did they hear my words? Are they capable to do what I've asked them? I'm not asking my children to go make me a sandwich. They can't do that. But they can sit in one spot and not move. And finally, do they understand what I'm asking them to do? Have I clearly communicated to them? Have I consistently communicated to them what I expect of them? And are they able to follow through? Are they able to obey me? If they're not, then disobedience will happen. If those three things are yes, if they heard you, if they're able to, and if they understand what you've asked them to do, and they don't do it, that's disobedience. We got to be consistent in that. Follow through. Just an example of my life. Again, my children are very different. Abel was pretty soft and cuddly and huggy and just gentle. Henry is a little bit more wild, and at like 12 months old, when he started moving around, he became a biter. Most kids, you probably had a biter, and Henry would hit my wife even when she would try and get his attention. He would swat at her face, and that was not called for, and that was not going to go down in my house, and we worked with him, and we consistently, Henry, do not bite. No bite. No bite. Obey. No bite. And he would get all riled up, and he'd get in this huge tantrum and freak out and fall on the ground. And we would pick him up, make him look in our eyes and say, "Henry, say okay. Say okay." And you would just see he would calm down. He would just, "Okay," and just calm. And then 5 minutes later, he'd do it all over again. And it's consistency, and it's working with him. And I can't 1 minute say, he bites Abel and say, "All right, oh, cool, Henry." And then the next time, be like, "Henry, do not bite." It's got to be consistent. "Henry, no bite." And my wife and I were talking about this weekend. She told me this, that she was scared of Henry, a 12-month-old baby, a one-year-old baby. She was scared of him, of like, what have we got ourselves into? This kid is going to be a little hellion one day. But we consistently, and it's not like we were perfect, not like we were the best parents. It's just consistency. "Henry, say okay." When he throws a tantrum, okay. When he bites, no bite. And it worked, and we continued on that, and now that's not really an issue. Every now and again, he might, if he gets really riled up and you see it from across the room, you know. But most times, and we deal with that, but most of the times now, he starts, "Henry, say okay, okay." And that's different for each kid. With Abel, we made him say yes, and that calmed him down. But it's just being consistent with each kid. It can work. One thing about consistency is children should obey quickly, completely, and cheerfully. Those are three things that you should have your children work on. When I tell you to do something, obey immediately. Do it quickly. Do it completely. If I tell you to clean up all of your toys, you don't leave one. And you do it cheerfully. It's not, "I don't want to," you know. It's cheerfully. Okay. And it doesn't have to be that they have this big old smile and, "Oh, I love cleaning up." It's, they're not pouting. They're not whining. Be consistent in that. Set a standard and follow through. And that goes right into this one. We need to have resolve as parents. We need to have determination to not back down. Keep going, even when it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Trust in God's ways. Have faith. Have conviction in God's ways. Don't say, "Oh, yeah, God's ways don't work." You don't work if they're not working. And I say that with love. If it's not working, you're not doing it correctly. Because God never fails. His way works. So don't say, "I tried that for a week. It didn't work." Josh Whitney, again, an example in this talk. He talked about his son who had an anger issue. His oldest son came in and one of the other siblings, there's five kids, would knock down this play structure that one of his sons was working on. And you could just, he went into like full Hulk mode, just like tackled the kid and starts punching him. And Josh and his wife Krista, they saw it and said, "When my son is 25 years old, and something happens to him at college, he can't run down and beat down this person. He's got to learn self-control. He's got to learn to control his emotions. He's got to learn." And this was at a very young age. So for 2 straight years, they worked on it with this child. And they would put him in these ways and in these spots where we'll see how he reacts if something doesn't go exactly the way he wants it. And they would correct it. And they would say, "Son, you can't act that way." For 2 straight years, it wasn't, "Well, I did it for a week, I tried, he's going to have a temper for the rest of his life." You know, that's not having resolve or determination. For 2 years, he worked on it. And then finally, one day, he had his toys knocked down, and he went, and was calm. It works. I'm not saying I did that. That's God working in those parents and in that family. It works. Have resolve. Don't give up. If you say, "I've tried disciplining my child for a couple weeks and he's still or she's still the same," either you got to change something up or you got to be more consistent. But most of all, you got to keep going. You got to keep doing it. You got to believe in God's ways. Just a couple more things and then we'll be done. Vision. This is so important for parents. We need to have vision for our parenting. Again, if you're not parents, start building a vision for your children now. Don't just say, "Well, when my kid grows up, I'll figure it out." Have a vision. What do you want your child to be like at 12 months old? What do you want your child to be like at 6 months old? What do you want your child to be like at 6 years old? at 10 years old, at 15? What do you want your child to be like when he's 30? What type of person do you want them to be? And we need to see that a little pain now, a little difficulty now in discipline and training, it brings greater fruit for the long run, and that it saves them from a great amount of pain down the road. So we need to have a short-term vision of what are we going to do today, and we need to have a vision of how what are we doing today that is going to make our kids what we want them to be in 10 years. Here's one great thing that FDR said. We cannot always build the future for our youth, but we can build our youth for the future. You know, my kids are young. I have no idea what is going to happen to our world in years to come. Sin is rampant. But I can know the type of children I'm sending into the world. And I can work on that. And I can protect them. And I can train them. And I just have a few encouragements before we end. Sorry, I know I'm going long. Do not let your shortcomings lower your expectations for your kids. We need to realize that we are sinners as well. You might lose your temper with your kid. You might yell at them. Ask God for help. Repent of that. Ask God, help me to not lose my temper with my kids. And it can't be like, well, I have a temper, so I'm going to let my kid have a temper. No, you work on your temper, and you work on your kid's temper. Don't let your failures lower your expectations of your children. And we need to understand this. Every child is different. Every parent is different. You are not going to parent the same way I parent. Your child's a different temperament than my child. But at the same time, again, I firmly 100% believe this. These principles are the exact same for every child. There are a few exceptions if there's maybe a disability or a learning problem, whatever. God will give you grace in that. But for most children, just about all of them, I believe these principles are the exact same. They might look a little different how they're played out, but you need to seek the Lord on what he wants you to do with these principles he's given you and that he teaches. And we need to have expectations that these work for our children and not just say, my kid's different. Because, like I said, my two children are very different, but I want them to behave the same. It's not going to be the exact same, but the expectation is there. And again, I say that in love. I love you guys, and I want us to win in our parenting. The final thing is ask for help. Please ask for help. If you're struggling, if you feel like you're drowning in your parenting, if you're discouraged, if you don't know what to do, ask for help. I might not have all the answers, but again, I'll point you to someone who does. Has more answers than I do. God is the only one with all the answers, but we want to help. Be humble. Be open that you're failing. I fail in a lot of things. I'm not perfect in a parent. We need each other. I'm constantly asking people that are around me, specifically Mac. He sees how I raise my children. They're his grandkids, and so he's pretty subjective already to that he wants his grandkids to be going well and has an expectation. He's like, how do you think I'm doing? Do you see something in my life that I could do better? Do you think I'm lax on that, that I'm lazy on that, that I'm not setting an expectation? And take that, be humble, take that and pray about it. You know, there's a lot of methods. Again, everyone's going to do it different, but I would just ask you, if you don't agree with anything I said today, just ask yourself, honestly evaluate this. Are your methods working? Are you constantly frustrated at your parenting? Are you constantly frustrated at your children? Do you feel like you're failing? God has a better way. I don't think God wants us to feel that way about our parenting or our marriage. There is a better way. Are they working? If they're not working, fix it. Find the solution. Find the answer. Look to God. Ask for help. All right, let's pray. God, thank you for this time. God, thank you for the amazing blessing that is children, God, and marriage. And thank you for your help, God. Thank you that you didn't just give us these little lives and say, figure it out, God. Thank you that you have a standard, you have truth, God, that you would have us follow. God, help us, God, as parents to work hard, God, to be consistent, to be courageous, God, in your ways, God. Help us I pray you'd give us amazing children that love you, that live for you, that impact the world for you, Jesus. That's what we want. We don't want just kids that are running all over the place, God. We want kids that obey you ultimately, that love you, that have a heart for you, God. So help us in this great parenting thing, God. Help us to be have vision and be clear-minded, God. Thank you that we can do this together, God, that we're not alone. You've put us in a church and a body of believers to do this thing together, God. So we love you. Help us in this area. We need your help. We need your grace, God. We just lift all this up in your name, Jesus. Amen.